Chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from his bondage on the Sabbath?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing.
Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for this moment to come around your word, to be shaped and formed by the example and the teaching of your son, Jesus. We pray that you would send the gift of your spirit in this place, that it would inspire us and that it would trouble us where we need to be troubled and comfort us where we need to be comforted. That your spirit would come so that we may see clearly the way that you have set before us. We ask these our prayers in the name of your son and our Savior, the Christ. Amen. So the woman in our story has spent 18 years stooped over, looking at the ground. Not looking folks in the eye, but looking at their feet. Not able to look up at the setting sun, but looking at the reflection of the sun in the dusty path in front of her. There was so much of the world that she could not see, so much that she has surely missed, so much. Think about all of the connection, the human connection. Think about all of the earthly beauty. Thinking about all of the belonging that has passed her by over the course of these 18 years, because she cannot look up and see the world the way the rest of us can. At any given moment, her physical state of being stooped over and only able to see the ground right in front of her, her physical state is our spiritual state. There is only so much that we ever understand, only so much that we ever experience. We see more reflections than we do reality. The summer I spent at Greenleaf Christian Church as an intern, Reverend Barber let me facilitate a discussion with some young people about the civil rights movement. We had this VHS copy of Eyes on the Prize, the masterpiece documentary that PBS produced. Is full of priceless interviews and video footage as a resource. So you had this white seminarian and a bunch of African-American adolescents on summer afternoons having this conversation. And I remember getting frustrated that they're teenagers and they weren't paying attention, or they didn't seem to be taking this seriously. And we saw these serious images, Bull Connors, police officers with dogs and fire hoses against protesters in the street. And finally I stopped and I told this one young woman, I said, "You know, you should be paying more attention to this. It's important for you to know this history." And what she told me was, you know, she said, "It's hard for me to watch people who look like me being treated that way." Another day I was teaching a Bible study at the senior apartment complex that Greenleaf had built, and they had gotten a few dozen elderly women out of housing projects, and so I stood up and I asked the group, we're doing a Bible study, who would like to read the first few verses of the scripture? And there was silence. Nobody replied. So I did it myself. And so what Reverend Barber told me afterwards was that I had asked them to read out loud, but most of the women there weren't confident enough in their reading skills to read out loud in front of a group, that literacy was not something I could take for granted in that particular community. Even when we see, even when we are trying to see, there is so much that we do not see. We make assumptions, we draw conclusions, even with the best of intentions, because we have not grasped the full full picture. This is why the woman who has been suffering for all these years is not the only one whose posture is changed by Jesus in our story. So is the posture of the Pharisees changed in the story. The Pharisees have insisted on a particular interpretation of the law, and they miss the forest for the trees. They have insisted on this interpretation of the law, of what God meant for liberation, what God meant for the full enjoyment of being in God's presence, has become restrictive and it has become oppressive for particular populations. And the Pharisees have grown to worship the ritual, and they have come to worship the rules instead of the faithful and merciful God who made the ritual and the rules for Sabbath in the first place. Now, they're not the first religious people to get so hung up on the rules and the rituals, and they're not the last religious people to get so hung up on the rules and the rituals that they miss the forest for the trees. And so this confusion that they have is not necessarily a byproduct of bad intentions or prejudice. It's not all of our ignorance is willful ignorance. And even if it is, even if our ignorance is willful ignorance, even if our prejudice is willful prejudice, then these things are not capital offenses. They're not things that are punishable by our redemption being impossible. In the narratives that we create these days, there is only room for winners and losers. There's only room for heroes and villains. There's only victory for the one who can claim the moral high ground and a humiliating defeat for the one who has been knocked off their high and mighty judgment seat. And so often in our conversations that we have about what is right and what is wrong, what is the right way to interpret Scripture, what is the wrong way to interpret Scripture, what is the right way to work for justice, what is the wrong way to work for justice, in order for one particular population to receive something means that another one has to be knocked down a notch. It isn't enough for us to see the oppressed be liberated. It isn't enough for us to see someone who has been trod on to be lifted up and restored to wholeness. We have to see the person who did it get punished as well. So this is this German word called Schadenfreude, which means to derive pleasure from someone else's pain. And so in a story like this, what that does is it scratches this human itch that we have to see the bad guys get it. So the Pharisees, because they're wrong, we take more joy in Jesus saying, "Aha, you Pharisees are wrong," than we do in the woman being liberated from being stooped over for 18 years. There are times when our best intentions are wrongly oriented and we need to be brought down a notch so that we can see what we have not previously seen. But we are, a lot of us, resistant to failure because of this winners and losers system that we create. If you ever, just look at Facebook, right? This is a constant cycle of winners and losers. Like, there's this seesaw of people being knocked up and knocked down, people being brought up, and then when people brought up get too high and mighty, they have to be knocked down again, and we just go back and forth and back and forth. And so we become resistant to failure and embarrassment. We don't want to be on the bottom of that seesaw, and so because we don't want to be on the bottom of that seesaw, we will fight tooth and nail to hold on to a worldview that we know deep down is not sufficient in order to keep from being on the wrong side of that winner and loser narrative. So, like, white Americans are resistant to hearing how systemic racism works in our society because we want to believe that if we can just eliminate our own personal prejudice, that this is all the work that needs to be done. And see, this includes people who would call themselves allies, like people who would say, who would tell you, you know, "I am as outraged about racial injustice as anyone. I am as upset about this as anyone." There's always something that you have not seen. There's always some way of looking at this that you have not understood. There's always some way in which you have become focused on the ground that is in front of you and not looked up around you to see everything that is at work. That's just one example of the ways that we would rather stay stooped over and seeing this limited view of the world than we would to look up and see the truth of the way God created the world. So discipleship requires humility, flexibility, openness. In other words, I walk in the humility of knowing that I don't have everything figured out. I have to walk in flexibility that at any given moment, God may come along and change my worldview in a particular way, and I have to be open to the movement of God's Spirit, or I may miss something that God is doing in my life. This is what discipleship requires, and yet our culture that we live in requires arrogance, certainty, and confidence, even if our confidence is misplaced. So as soon as we get comfortable in a position with a limited viewpoint, the witness of Jesus and the movement of the Spirit come along and they stand us up. They pick us up straight so that we can see around us whether we want to see around us or not. And this is not losing. This is salvation. So I read an article this week by this author named Elizabeth Palmer, and she said it like this. I'm going to quote her. The reality is that we're always being simultaneously stooped down and lifted up. That's not a bad thing. It follows the example that Jesus set for us. His exaltation is a crucifixion, and his glory is in being weighted down with shame. As Jesus' disciples, we too bear the responsibility of letting ourselves be stooped down under the cross of Christ, even as God's grace continually lifts us up. In other words, if you feel sometimes like your faith is taking you on a spiritual roller coaster, where one moment you feel enlightened and you feel as if you're beginning to see the world clearly, and in another moment you feel befuddled and you don't understand anything that is happening, this is why. Because Jesus is constantly lifting us up to a higher plane, but also keeping us in check so that we never become so focused on the ground that is in front of us. And in the end, being loosed from a view of God that is too narrow, being set free from a view of God that is too restrictive, that is too much, being set free from believing in a God that looks just like all of our own prejudices and preferences, to be set free from that is to be set free to see and know the full beauty of God, to see the full width and the full depth and the full breadth of God's love and mercy for everyone, including you. See, if you look at this woman and at the Pharisees, what's happened is that their relationships to the people around them have become broken. One because of her physical stature, and another one because Pharisees because of their spiritual stature. And because they can't understand their relationship to those around them properly, then they cannot begin to understand God properly. So this is the beauty of God's creation, that we do not actually know who we are until we begin to see those around us more clearly. We begin to see our relationships with those around us more clearly. We begin to see that actually our journey is tied up in someone else's journey. Pharisees begin to see and understand, oh, the way we understand God has an effect, has a profound effect on some others and how they understand God. And isn't our relationship with God broken as long as our relationships with others are broken in some fundamental way? We don't understand who we are, we don't understand who God is until we can look up and see the image of God in those around us. And we don't understand what our journeys mean until we can look up and see the journeys that people are walking all around us. And so sometimes in this world, when we are struggling to understand and struggling to see what it means to be faithful, to work for justice, to do all the things that we believe our faith requires of us, sometimes it's going to feel like we're getting a course correction. And it's going to feel like we're getting knocked down a notch. And it's going to feel like everything that we have previously understood is being called into question. And the temptation that you might have in the midst of that is to shut it out. Because when you assume a certain posture for so long, right, it can be uncomfortable to take on new one. Discipleship requires humility, flexibility, openness, a willingness to let the Spirit of God work in you, to straighten you up. And when that feeling sometimes, when it feels uncomfortable, when it feels challenging, that is actually what salvation feels like. And so what to do in that moment? Just give thanks to God that God was not content to let you see only what is right in front of your face.